I think what I'll do today, let me get to the place where I'm at now. One second. Okay. Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 240. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhojana Karena Tina Thakur Chanchala, Divya Anagrita Dugda, Payasa Sakala. The three restless lords ate the finest rice with ghee, along with milk and sweet rice. One second. Omigana Timarandasya. Nananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So people asked me if I'm going to speak on Lord Nrisimhadev. It's Nrisimha Chaturdasi. I'm very attached to this Gaur Lila. So what I'll do is I'll speak on Gaur Lila, and when I'm finished, those who want to stay, if the Gaur Lila takes the whole time of the 1 hour class, because I'm fasting today, so I don't have to leave for breakfast, you can stay and I'll say something. And the way I usually do Lord Nrisimhadev is I assume most people know the story. So I won't spend too much time on the story. But I discuss the profundity of the messages that are given. And usually when I'm audience, ask them if they can think of not only the messages, but the incredible verses in our Shastra that are in these in this pastime. If we can say that Prabhupada's purports are his ecstasy, and I can see, I know when I write and there's a good Monday Morning Greetings that came out. It's an ecstasy. It's a real for someone who is a devotee, especially a teacher, his realizations are their ecstasies. And what to speak when you share them. And so sometimes when I look at the verses in the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada spoke the longest on, and I kind of feel like, wow, this must be an ecstasy. Not just longest, but where he goes on and on and on and on. One is the, there's two or three longest purports, excuse me. One is the Bhagavatam in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. The fourth verse discusses Abhideya Tattva, or the means for realizing the absolute truth, which is bhakti. How do we realize the absolute truth? And it's the purport goes on and on, because one of the factors about our path of realizing the absolute truth is that there's no material qualification. A child can do it. In the womb, the child can hear the vibration of the mother chanting the holy names. Animals can take prasadam. They can join a procession. So when they talk about the universal applicability of devotional service, and this was Prabhupada's core realization. Otherwise, how could he have come to America with so much confidence and go to the Lower East Side where people had no culture or intellectual frame of reference for what he was going to give? My God, Prabhupada went to the Lower East Side in the 60s and preached the regulative principles of devotional service, and preached you have to surrender to God. But he had faith that this message of bhakti is universally applicable. That's a beautiful one. And the other one is found in this pastime of the Sringadev, which is when his demoniac father asked him what is the best thing he learned today. After he once came to him and gave an answer that blew his mind, he so didn't like his answer, because the first one was, what is your best subject? And Prahlad, who is just a young boy but self-realized, and his demoniac father, the king, Hiranyakashipu, what is the best subject? The best subject is that this body is temporary, it's embarrassing, and it's suffering, and we should go to the forest of Vrindavan. The father was furious. The materialistic teachers were shaking in their boots. They were so, wow, where did he get that from? That's not from us. We were teaching him the science of politics. So then they educated him again. And he came back and then he asked him, okay, what is the best thing you learned today? And Prahlad said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Sakyam, nine processes of devotional service. And that's, again, is a very elaborate, long purport of Prabhupada's ecstasy, explaining the different items of devotional service and how they're applicable. So if we have time at the end, I'll do this. I'd like to explain some of the points in that pastime. And I think today, what I plan on doing myself, because we're all isolated and more accessible than ever before at the same time as we meet on these conferences and we have time for relationships with others for the first time, rather than the, as life slows down. So we will discuss this pastime. Yeah, 1 second. Okay. So I love the Chaitanya Bhagavan. I'm relishing it. I'm now speaking on it for about 6 months. You can imagine I'm up to the, well, I've done 19 chapters in the Madhya Lila. Very exciting. This 6 years, the middle 6 years of Chaitanya's life. And in this particular pastime, there's a very nice philosophical point that actually has been presented. And one of the reasons why I like these stories so much, and on Sunday at the 11 o'clock class, I'll finish up my seminar on Why God is Blue by explaining the necessity for hearing Krishna's pastimes. But I'll begin Krishna's pastimes and I'll do the 15th chapter. And I'll read a verse, a purport, and elaborate on it and describe it intricately and really try to bring the pastime alive and to communicate the feelings and the visual. But what's nice about Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila is within the pastimes, there's tattva. Tattva means subject, a subject. There's subjects, there's information, there's philosophical points. Let's say it means philosophy. There's tattva. There are such beautiful philosophical points. And at the same time, you have rasa. And rasa is descriptions of perfected love between God and his devotees and among God's devotees. And they're described in such a way that if you hear them properly, you yourself will feel them. So it's very, very important to hear Krishna Lila. It's the essence. It's why we study the philosophy, very frankly. Prabhupada makes that so clear in the Bhagavatam or the Krishna book. It's all about that. We study the philosophy so that we have the frame of reference to hear Krishna's pastimes purely, without projecting our attachments and misconceptions on them. There are 10 subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 9 are to help you understand the 10th. Because if you don't have the proper frame of reference, I discussed this point, spiritual prejudice. Prejudice means when you prejudge things on an experience which you generalize that doesn't apply. You have a bad experience with someone of a particular ethnicity or race, you generalize it. And then later you meet a person of a particular race and you judge him based on the generalization and not who he is. So it's the same thing with the Bhagavatam. We have so many experiences with relationships, with people, and we generalize them. For example, boy and girl is lust. Now we see Radha and Krishna. We generalized it that boy and girl means lust. We see Radha and Krishna, and therefore we see lust. but it doesn't apply individually in that circumstance. So that's called spiritual prejudice. We prejudge things by a generalization we made in the past that doesn't apply individually. And it becomes especially difficult when the generalization that you made is absolute in the material realm, but it doesn't apply individually in the spiritual realm, because boy-girl relationship in the material world is lust. But you apply it to the spiritual world, it's not. So therefore, when you study the Bhagavatam and you go through the purification and the knowledge, if your heart is not pure, you won't be free of attachment, and you'll project it on those pastimes and not really be able to understand and hear them as they are. In a way, when you hear them, it does the exact opposite thing. Rather than see Radha and Krishna in their intimate pastimes, rather than invoking lust in your heart, which happens when you see something like a material thing with similar forms, it brings love in your heart because you see it in a different way. You actually see it as it is without filtering it through your misconceptions. And the same thing, you get knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, then you see Krishna's pastimes, you'll project on them something like they're cartoonish or mythological, or rather than historical, or beyond historical, ontological, they exist in reality. So, but anyway, when you hear the rasa, these relationships in the proper way, as Prabhupada presented them, and as hopefully I'm doing now, couching them in the tattva or philosophy, then we can hear them properly. And then mentioning that within that, there's such beautiful, 1 second. Okay, back. One second. Okay, back. So the philosophical point that was presented, I just want to sum it up because it's a beautiful point. And actually, I wrote my Monday morning readings on it called The Movement of Radical Respect. And actually, I got a very beautiful message from Giriraj Swami, who gets my Monday morning greetings, and he just said, beautiful. And it's a beautiful point. What a real Vaishnav is. How they respect Amanina, Madanena. Wanting no, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. And the pastime, the lila, what happens there in the exchanges between Lord Chaitanya chastising Advaitacharya, then feeling embarrassed and feeling inspired to glorify him as a devotee and being so insistent on it and so powerful, glorifying the devotee. And he extends it. He extends it, actually. He says, you know, any person who disrespects my devotee, it's like cutting me to pieces. That's what love means. That's the whole essence of bhakti. The whole essence of bhakti is that you shift not only shift your intellectual conception of pleasure, but your emotional conception of pleasure. That your pleasure becomes the pleasure of another. And God is saying, that's my pleasure. And my pleasure is the respect and service of the devotee. That's God's pleasure. And he said, and on the other hand, if you just respect that person, it's like cutting me to pieces. And my wish-fulfilling holy name will destroy those who blaspheme my devotees. Not my devotees, all living entities are my servant. And even if those on the top of the Vanashram system, the sannyasis, they blaspheme others, then they're ruined. And then he comes with the conclusion. Avoid all offenses, chant the holy name. And if one is free from blasphemy, if he even chants the holy name once, he becomes liberated. So radical respect, the foundation, avoiding offenses, the simple process of bhakti. Avoid offenses and the holy name will appear in your heart. Chanting the holy name is not a mechanical thing. I remember Satchinandana Swami once told me, he was up in Barsana and he was chanting and a sadhu came by. I forgot the whole story, an advanced sadhu, and said, are you chanting the holy name or is the holy name chanting you? And it's just such a fact. It's really not mechanically produced. Because you can see, I was chanting this morning, and at the beginning it was a little bit difficult, but I was concentrated. But at the end, it was easy. It was the same effort, but the name was so much more prominent and clear. It wasn't by my mechanical effort. It was by the reciprocation of Krishna for that effort that the name actually becomes clear. And it's our attitude and this foundational attitude, which is such a challenge because we're in the age of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and confusion. And we don't have the protection. We don't have the protection of culture. There's no culture. What did someone say about America? I forgot, you know. What do you think of American culture? And someone said, oh, that would be nice, or something like that. It's described. That's why the third verse of the Shikshastakam is so important. Because the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which says we should be humble, and if we're humble, we can chant always. Why? It says, just as the eyelids protect the eyes from sand and different things from disturbing it. Humility protects the soul from offense. So what an important message, foundational to Krishna consciousness. So it's a challenge in the Kali Yuga. It's a challenge. That's why I know Radhanath Swami in Chopati, where the people are, go to Mumbai and the congregation he had, they're such cultured people. But his message over and over and over and over again, and in terms of organization, the most important thing in organization is your culture. And what your culture is not what you say it is. It's what people feel when they come in your organization. That's what a culture is. And it's the foundation of success, especially in Krishna consciousness. So Radhanath Swami is so smart, he wanted to make a culture. And what did he say in every class over and over and over again? I remember one time, Brajabihari's wife is Radhanath Swami's disciple. Radhanath Swami was at Govindakund. And she came back and Bhurijan Prabhu's living in their house. So Bhurijan Prabhu wanted to find out what is Radhanath Swami's lecture about at Govindakund. So he calls up Bihari's wife and said, what did he speak on? He said he spoke for 3 hours on being servant of the servant. Being servant of the servant. Dasa, 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 anudasa. Gopi Bharta Parakamala, dasa, dasa. He spoke on that. And Bhurijan Prabhu was impressed. Just see how he's trying to stress this particular point. So this was, as Giriraj Swami wrote, he liked my Monday morning greetings. He said, beautiful. The point is beautiful. It's just difficult for us. But it's the key to bhakti. The key to bhakti. Respecting all. And then the second point that was made, and which will be particularly relevant today, and then I'm going to go in today's verses, and then maybe is that the Lord's Leela can seem a bit strange at times. And that was another point here, because what's going on here is unusual. Very, and actually, if we're reading the Madhya Leela, a lot of it is in the house of Srivas Thakur with Nityananda, and he is Abhidhut. It means a person with a kind of spiritual awareness that's so internally absorbed that he's not cognizant of the way people view him. And therefore, the things he does are not easily understood by people. Now, we're cognizant of what we act a lot on the context of our environment. There's a disease called autism, a mental disease. I don't know if you want to call it a mental challenge. Autism, I read about this, it says the inability to read minds. And you'll be cognizant when you're with people, how much you're, without people saying anything, how much you're, oh, okay, we're here in a program, people are listening attentively, okay, I should be quiet, okay, this person's angry with me, I should be a little sensitive because maybe the host seems a little bit disturbed today. They don't say anything. But it's definitely, the face is an index of the mind. So, and when people don't have that, it's very socially awkward if you see them. They're just not aware what other people are thinking. Well, normally a person would walk in the room and say, hello, and how are you? They'll just ignore you maybe, or whatever it is. But there's a type of spiritual consciousness where the person's so absorbed that he's not cognizant of outside. And therefore, and not only that, it can also be done deliberately by a particular type of person who doesn't, by his karma and his spiritual evolution, doesn't want to be involved in the world. So purposely acts in a contrary way. And you can see how easily these things can be misunderstood. The example is Jutta Bart. We know the whole story from the fifth canto, as some of us, most of us may know it, but he was very evolved in his previous lives, and he made a slip up at the end, just as he was about to attain perfection. And in his particular incarnation in a Brahmin family, he was so advanced. Your duties are based on your duties are prescribed. Oh, you have this particular desire, you have to be married. Okay, now you're married to a wife, this is how you deal with them. Okay, you have duties. And okay, you have to work in this way to maintain yourself because you have but this person is so advanced. But he's born, this is his last birth, and he acts completely opposite, purposely. So he was not understood, Jutta Bart. His father tried to train him. He said, you go to the bathroom, and after the bathroom, you clean yourself with water. And no matter what his father said, he would clean himself first and then go to the bathroom. Jutta means dumb, dull, Bart. Okay, then we read the story how he actually was revealed. He was very advanced. This is with Nityananda. Not only Nityananda, especially Nityananda, but sometimes Advaita and sometimes Sri Chaitanya. And these are the principal foundational people of the tradition. And then I made a point last time that several people appreciated. And I compared, it was a comment on the Rasa dance, how God no longer became the supreme controller, and but Rasa, or the love, was controlling God. And it gave the example as just as a drunk man does not act for pleasure, out of pleasure he acts, in the same way when Krishna was enjoying his rasa dance, he became so intoxicated with the love that he didn't act for pleasure, but out of that rasa he acted. And the other example was a child who he plays. His mood dictates his activities, where generally a person's intelligence guides his activities. So these personalities, it's Leela. So now I'm giving that description because we're going to see out of pleasure how they can act, and how if you don't have that touch for understanding, then you'll misunderstand it, which is specifically why Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author, is so carefully presenting this tattva and presenting these leelas, especially Nityananda, he has to defend. You can imagine Nityananda left home with a sannyasi and wandered around India for so many years. And due to the internal connection with Chaitanya, he wound up with Chaitanya, like a sannyasi. And then when he's older, he gets married to two wives. And people are having a difficult time. Because it's Parama Karuna Pahu Dwijana Nittai Gora Chandra Sababatar Sarashiramani Kebala Ananda Kanda Parama Karuna, Pahu Dui, there's two people, Parama Karuna, that are supremely merciful. Nittai Gorachan, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Sabha Avatars, of all the others, they are the most merciful. So there's these two. And therefore, Chaitanya leaves first. They can't understand Nityananda. They were trying to figure him out. They couldn't understand him. So now in the next generation, Vrindavan Das Thakur, tries to explain him. Okay, so now they took a feast after Lord Chaitanya's instructions. They had Mother Sachi, the wife of Advaita Acharya, supreme mother, cooks a feast, and we can't imagine what this tastes like. All I can tell you is sometimes you see on the Sunday morning class, there's a gentleman there taking notes and listening to my class with a tie on and a shirt. And that's my friend Henry. I met him in Vrindavan over 30 years ago. That's how he came to Krishna consciousness. And he became very attached to Jamuna Devi. And he lived in a 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house in the embassy section of Washington, painted saffron. And Jamuna and Dinatar needed a place to stay. For 2 years, he gave them a section of their house. And I was fortunate sometimes to stay there at the same time, especially for the 40th anniversary. And there's also a member of the Sangha here. It says Jay Groshan, Joel Cayley, who was Jamuna's assistant at that time because he was a friend of Henry's. So I remember one day that Jamuna cooked breakfast and she made oatmeal. And I just couldn't believe how good that oatmeal was. So when someone has love and they want to offer the best, and of course, Prabhupada said, we're a kitchen religion. Offering food in love and devotion is such a way of exchanging, sharing your devotion, your love for others. So bhunte, bhojyate, chaiva. It's such an exchange. The finest rice with ghee, along with milk and sweet rice, I see on the list that there are some people here from the Middle East, and one time they came to cook for me, and they brought this rice that you could only find there. And you've never seen a rice that practically, if they brought the rice in your room uncooked, it was practically like incense. It was so fragrant. So we can't imagine. And Nityananda looked at Advaita and smiled because they're opening their hearts when you share prasadam with the devotees. They are one, yet they appeared as two for the purpose of assisting the pastime. So this is part of the panchatattva. God is manifest in different ways, and they're coming to assist in his mission. Now here it goes. When they almost finished their meal, Nityananda became fully absorbed in the mood of a child. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chaturhi. That perfected personalities, they have a form simultaneously in Krishna's Leela and Gaur Leela. So everyone in Chaitanya's pastimes has an internal form, Siddharupa, in Krishna Leela. And Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram's a cowherd boy. So he sometimes exhibits this internal mood because it's a child, even though now he's older. But the internal mood is younger. As Nityananda laughed loudly and threw rice all about the room, the Lord exclaimed, "Whoa, whoa," and Haridas smiled. So Nityananda then started to throw the rice around. You see what I mean? Difficult to understand. On seeing this, Advaita began to burn like fire. On the pretext of anger, he began to describe the glories of Lord Nityananda. So he becomes angry with him, and he says, "This Nityananda has ruined my caste. I don't know where this drunkard has come from." Because Nityananda just appears on the scene. So there's no vetting. All they know is that Lord Chaitanya is accepted in practically his own body. But there's no vetting. He just shows up. We know that he came from Radhadesh, from a Brahmin family, and that one sannyasi was at his father's house. And in that culture, the culture of India, real culture, not just India. You know, there was one person, Ugo. I got to meet him. He, an amazing person. He decided that he would walk from, he would walk from France to India without any money. He came to my Puri Yatra, and he walked through Iran without any money with his fiance. Without any money. And the culture was, when he would go to someone's door, they would have the mood that Allah is coming personally. He never starved. He walked all the way through Iran. He never starved. And in Sanskrit, this is called Atithi Bhagavan. The guest is God. Just see in a real culture how they want to save you from the conception of false ego. That I am the center. And things are objects for me. Rather, the spiritual consciousness that God is the center. And everything is an object for his pleasure, including myself. This consciousness of stepping out of the center. And we know all wars are people fighting for the center. All family conflicts, people fighting for the center. Institutional conflicts, people fighting for the center. People without that spiritual principles, it's just animal life. Some kind of spiritual principle. I'm not the center. So it's so nice. The guest is God. Now, I know when I would stay at my doctor's house, the Ravals, joint family, when you come to that and you stay in that house, they treat you in that way. They move out of their master bedroom if there's not enough room, and they feed you first, and that concept is there. So the culture is there. Anyway, I'm getting back. He's ruined my, I don't know where this drunkard has come from. There's no background for him. And it's something, this is Bhakti Siddhanta's commentary. So why is he glorifying him in that way? It's because he's actually understanding that this person is free from all other designations, which is ultimately the definition of bhakti is sarva padi, upadi, designation. Upadi is like your rank. Like if you're in the army, you got a new potty, your rank, your status, your situation. But bhakti is sarva potty, Vinir Mukta Tattva Trena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikas Sevanam Bhakti Uttama Uttama Bhakti without Naham Vipra Chanadapatir Vaishno Nasudra. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. Gopi Bharta Patu Kamala Dasa Dasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. So even though he's criticizing him, it's indirectly. And then there's a verse from Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. It said, let the garrulous, the talkative populace say whatever they like, we shall pay no heed. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground and dancing in ecstasy. And the way to continue is we don't know who his guru is, yet he poses as a sannyasi. We don't know for certain which village he was born in. No one knows him, and no one knows to which caste he belongs. He wanders about like a mad elephant. If you read the pastime, he is eaten in the house of Westerners. Now he is mingling here with the Brahmanas. So the West, it's always, the West is always less serious than the East. Even in America, you could talk to any person from New York and what they think of the West Coast. The West seems always, it just seems always so much more superficial than the East. So even they have this concept. At least previously, what is Mumbai, the West? It was the most Western, Bollywood, and people the most Western-like. But previously, there would be some injunctions for purity of not crossing the ocean to the West, because the people would become increasingly more degraded. Now, this is just a side story, but I think it's very interesting. In the Madhva line, they have 8 sannyasis at a time that are gurus. They have 8 gurus. And there's a senior sannyasi and a junior one. When the senior sannyasi dies, the junior one becomes the guru. Then how do they find the next junior sannyasi? They go to a village that's only pure Brahmins. They do the astrological charts. And they find one boy in a Brahmin family who is destined for this pure life. And he becomes the junior sannyasi. Now, when you take sannyas, your danda, the stick that you have, your religious staff, is your height. So they would have very small ones because the junior, it was like 12 years old. He's the junior sannyasi. But in this way, in their tradition, in 500 years, not one of their gurus or sannyasis fell down because they have this samskara. And then they have all rules. Like, for example, when one of the Pajava Swami, one of the most respected of the Madhvacharyas, came for Prabhupada's 500th centennial, he had so many rules of cleanliness. He could only bathe in a river. He couldn't bathe in a bathroom or a pump. He can only bathe in a holy river. That's the most pure thing. So he would go to the Ganga in the morning. And he can only eat in a certain way, cooked in a certain way. So one thing is they never cross the ocean as a matter of purity. One of the Madhvacharyas about 15, 20 years ago crossed the ocean and he went to America to preach. And he had a picture of him smiling with George and Laura Bush, the president and the first lady of the United States of America. When he came back, and he had his period of worshiping the main deity, they didn't want to let him do it. It was a big thing. They compromised. They let him be charged of the 2 years because they divide as 16 years, each get 2 years. So this West, listen, Haridas, I tell you the truth. As Waita said, this drunkard Nityananda has ruined everything. Out of anger, Advaita lost his cloth. He clapped his hands and he danced and laughed loudly. Lord Gauranga laughed on seeing the characteristics of Advaita. Nityananda laughed and displayed putting his two thumbs up. So this comes from the Shastra. Nityananda went, yeah, hey. Seeing Advaita's anger, everyone from child to old age burst into laughter. Shortly thereafter, Advaita regained external consciousness. They then all washed their hands and mouths and embraced one another. As Nityananda and Advaita embraced each other, the two Prabhus became overwhelmed in the mellows of ecstatic love. These two Prabhus are the two arms of the Lord. They had only love for each other. There were no bad feelings between them, even for a moment. The quarreling that is seen between them is Krishna's pastimes. The sporting of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is like that of children. In this way, Mahaprabhu is absorbed in his own ecstatic mood while enjoying the glorification of Krishna in the house of Advaita. Only Lord Brahma has the power to understand these pastimes. No one else can understand the nature of these pastimes. By the mercy of Balaram, Goddess Saraswati also knows these pastimes. That goddess glorifies these pastimes through the tongues of those who are qualified. I do not know the chronological order of these pastimes. Some other, I am simply singing Krishna's glories. I offer my obeisance at the feet of Lord Chaitanya's dear associates so that they will forgive my offenses. After staying for some days at the house of Advaita, the Lord returned to Navadvipa with the three Prabhus. So what we'll do now is we'll stop for reflections on this. And then if anyone wants to stay, I know a lot of you may be busy, but if any of you want to stay another 15 minutes, we'll do something with Lord Nrisimhadev. Would anyone like to share a reflection?
Haribol Maharaj.
Hey, Jamuna Jaya, Haribol.
Haribol, I'm loving the point you saying about humility protects the soul from offense. And I think that's really beautiful for today on Lord Nrisimhadev, because I feel like he's come to protect us from the offense, that the Hiranyakashipu within us is what he wants to kill. So I thought that was a wonderful tie-in.
Wow, yeah. The analogy was just like the eyelids protect the eyes, humility protects the soul from offense. Bhakti, Vigya, Vinash, Nrisimhadev. Mm-hmm. Nrisimhadev is Bhakti Vigya Vinash. Vinash means to destroy. Vigya means the obstacles to Bhakti. Bhakti Vigya Vinash Nrisimhadev Kijai. Bhakti Vigya. Okay, thanks, Jamuna Jaya. That's great. Okay. Anybody else like to say a reflection?
Krishna Maharaj, this is Hemalata Rada.
Hi, Bo.
Hey, Maharaj. Well, I was going to comment on the same point that our lovely Jamuna said, but I wanted to ask something. So then we say, okay, the eyelid is right there, right on top of the eye. So actually humility is right there on top of the soul, and we just...
No, it's an analogy. This was explained to me. There was an old sadhu in Vrindavan that used to deliver the mail called Dadu. And he would make this a point. When you're doing analogies, you're not comparing everything, just similar things. And he gave the example, if you tell someone your face is like the moon, You're not saying they have a comic spherical thing. You're saying it's very bright. So it just means just the part that it protects. That's all. It's an analogy. Okay. Thank you. Hey, Malata. Okay, great. Anybody else like to share something? A reflection?
Hey, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's Lal Govinda. I want, when you first started off today, I love that you were saying how if we're not pure enough yet, when we just see mundane things that could represent Radha Krishna's pastimes, it produces lust in the heart. But when we actually become purified and we hear those pastimes of Radha Krishna, then it actually produces love in the heart.
Yeah, there's a verse in the 10th canto that actually says that if you hear them with faith, and faith means the right understanding. But of course, Prabhupada also said, he didn't ban the gopis. You don't ban the gopis. So it's just, you have to do it in the right way. Okay, thank you. One more, and then we'll do something on the Sringadev.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Kinshana. Good.
I love the point about the more Western it is, the more superficial. we knew that already, but you expanded it by comparing the West Coast of America to the East Coast and Mumbai to the rest of India. I thought that was brilliant. Thank you, Marsh.
Okay, I have to, when you say something like this, you should give a disclaimer that you're from New York.
Even I was thinking like European people kind of are more cultured than all of Americans. Even you take East Coast Americans, you know, it's the more West you go. There's something about that. That was a great point.
Well, it's a point that was there in the it was a point that was there in the verse. That's why I brought it out. But
yeah, I got it. Nityananda Prabhu, he was eating with Westerners. That was the real mark of his degradation. I got that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, a little something about Nisringadev, but not too much. What I like to do, I was explaining at the beginning of this, is there's so many philosophical points through the story. So let me go through some that I like. Just in your mind, as a test, no one has to answer it. Where does the story begin? It's an interesting point where the story begins. It begins actually, in one sense, at the end of the sixth canto with the story of Vritrasura. Because in the story of Vritrasura, Vritrasura is killed and the Lord appears, Vishnu appears to, at least superficially, favor the demigods. So it begins actually with, because Maharaj Prickett is hearing this. So he's raising his questions because that's what a disciple does. You're thoughtful. And thoughtfulness means you don't question your authority, you question your understanding of your authority. And if you don't question your own understanding when things belie your consciousness or your intellect or whatever, if you don't question them, then you're blindly following. And in the name of submission, in the name of your own misunderstanding, you're accepting something that's not true. It's not that what's told to you is not true. Your understanding is not correct, but you're accepting your misconception, thinking that it's coming from the authority, but not understanding what the authority is. So it's the duty of a disciple to bring up their doubts. And Kapila Dev said one of the five symptoms of intelligence is. So Marge Brickett, he brings up his doubts, just like Arjuna did in the Gita. And he said, is the Lord impartial? Because impartiality, this hate and like, icha, dvesha, it seems to be a very material quality. It's so connected with the ego. We like the things that promote our superiority, and we dislike the things that diminish our superiority. It seems to be a quality that's there in the world of duality. So how can that be ascribed? How can that be ascribed to the Supreme Lord? So Sukadev begins to describe a story. And this is where there's a story within a story. So he tells the story of the Rajasuya Yajna, where Yudhishthira is there, and Shishupal, who is envious of Krishna since his childhood, it's described in the Bhagavatam that in broken language, before he could even speak, he was saying, I hate Krishna, Krishna, bad. In broken language, he was cursing Krishna in broken language. So in the Rajasuya sacrifice, and this is, it's being described, and Krishna, they have to make a person who is the presiding. This is also the culture of India. There's always a system of authority so that decisions are made efficiently. So culturally, if there's any function, there has to be a person who is senior that's anointed. When I used to go to functions at the Gaudiya Math, like Prabhupada's Sannyas Festival or whatever, whoever was the most senior Vaishnav that was sitting there speaking, if many people were speaking, they would give them a little wood table. Or if everybody had wood tables, they would put a cloth over it with a little flower. One person is senior. So this is requirement for any type of function. So they made Krishna, and Shishupal was so envious. And envy really comes out more with competitors, because what we tend to do is we tend to create our world. The disciples may not be envious of the guru, but they'll be envious of each other because they've created their world of disciples. Well, the brahmacharis may not be envious of the sannyasi, but who is the senior brahmachari? So Shishupal was also a king, and this, and they made Krishna, and he began to curse Krishna, and Krishna's, make a long story short, his Sudarshana Chakra killed Shishupal. But as Yudhishthira, and Narada Muni, and then they see that Shishupal merges into the body of Krishna, and then Marge Yudhishthira inquires about this, because this story is being told, well, the Lord isn't impartial. He's not impartial, because look, even the enemy that gets killed gets this destination. So then from that, he tells the story, that goes into the story of Shishupal's birth, beginning from the story of Vijay and Jai, the two doorkeepers who are servants of Krishna, and they get cursed, etc. So that's the first point, is about this impartiality. Samaham sarvabhuteshu name bhaktasthina. God is equal to everyone. He doesn't hate alike. Um, So in that story, it's going to tell within that story of Jai and Vijay and their different incarnations in the material, their curse to take birth several times in the material world. Within that comes the story of Hiranyakashipu, because he is one of the incarnations of Jai. And it tells that story. And that's where we get to the Sringadev story. So I think another story, then it describes that his brother was killed by Vishnu. And when his brother gets killed by Vishnu, he wants to take revenge. And how does he take revenge? He destroys Brahminical culture. Because Brahminical culture is where the worship of Vishnu comes. That's the role of the society. There must be a class of people who have the qualities to learn and to teach, that to represent God in this world. And what is representing God in this world? It's his will. And what is his will? His will is represented in the truth. And where is the truth? The Vedas. And how do you learn the truth? You have to have certain qualities, not just certain intellect. And you have to have certain qualities to disseminate that truth, because you have to represent it. And those qualities are peacefulness, tolerance, self-control, religiousness, knowledge, realization, honesty, Gyanam Vijnanam Astikam. A Brahmin doesn't work by an occupation. He works by exhibiting qualities, and naturally an occupation comes. Wow, what an important point. How important it is for a functional society, like Lord Chaitanya's mission, to have Brahmins, to have people whose main occupation is to cultivate certain qualities so that they can represent God. That's why it says, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Chajigat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That's why it says, the Brahmins and the cows are dear to Krishna. So these two things destroy the foundation of a culture. And the simple analogy is like a body. When you cut off the head, you know, if your stomach is bad, okay. If your arms are bad, your legs, you can function. You cut off the head, there's no direction. And that's why the most important thing in any activity is the vision to do it. Otherwise, you move in the wrong direction and it becomes useless. There has to be people in society that have vision. They can see exactly what to be done. So, and then to get power, Hiranyakashipu performs these incredible austerities. That's how you get power. You have to make sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there's no power. Power is incorporated within the universe, and it's a reward for sacrifice. Nayam lokas tyagyasya kutanya kru. Without sacrifice, there's no, you know, happiness in this life or the next. So hayagya praja shishva parovacha prajapati anena pasavish yadvam esha vo shrishta kamaduk. God, Krishna says, I gave sacrifice. Be happy materially and spiritually. So you perform sacrifice, you get power. It is the way the world is constructed to encourage sacrifice, because without sacrifice, it's just animal life. Sacrifice, yajna, is the basic principle of human life. And it has to be encouraged, because we come here to be the enjoyer and controller, which means no sacrifice. So it's good to perform a little tapasya. That's why I like Ekadasi. Perform a little bit tapasya. Become purified. And this point is so interesting too. Then the demigods, he's sucking up, he's got so much power that he's controlling the whole universe, completely controlling the whole universe. The demigods go to Vishnu and they complain. And Vishnu says something very simple and powerful. Don't worry. He has committed or will commit Vaishnav aparad, and therefore he will be destroyed. Rest assured that there will be a reaction for Vaishnav aparad. I've actually seen, I'm going to give you one example. Okay, I'll give it. I had some doubts. I'll say it. I was in the temple once in Mayapur, where off the Vyasasan, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers was criticized. I walked out of the temple. Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, was a very exalted Vaishnav. Prabhupada even at one time asked him to become the president of ISKCON. I walked out of the temple. I believe shortly after that, the temple was actually attacked. And I think one of the smaller deities was taken or something happened. But I understood. I've seen that. I saw another time where one person got angry and in front of me cursed a devotee, and I just felt the world shaking. And afterwards, they had difficulty. So, sadhu savdan, sadhu be careful. So, and then, because Narada is actually telling this story, and in the story, it mentioned that Hiranyakashipu would offend his son. So the question came up, I think, by Maharaj Prickett. I may be wrong, but the question came up. How can he hurt such a pure soul as Narada Muni? How can he hurt such a pure soul as Narada Muni? And then he describes, and then Narada is going to tell the story of Narada Muni. He's the son of Hiranyakashipu. And very interesting, because when his father went to perform austerities, his wife was pregnant with Prahlad, and she took shelter in the ashram of Narada Muni. And this was an example how bhakti is universal, because he became liberated in the womb by his mother hearing the Bhagavatam from Narada Muni. You don't even have to be born to practice bhakti. So that was nice. And then it told the story, and you know, later what's going to happen, I'm not going in any chronological order, but his father is so upset with him for being a devotee. Because his father's teaching him how to control the world, and he just wants to serve the world. And the father is frustrated, and from frustration comes anger, and he's a demon. So his desires are everything. It's not couched by any type of dharma or religion. His religion is power, Machiavellian. Just get ahead, do whatever you can. Kill anybody you have to. The demoniac mentality. Be God. That's your religion, to be God. There's no morality. That's that that story, Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. And the whole story is about this one person, and he's having this existential dilemma. He thinks he's an atheist, and if there's an atheist, there's no meaning in life. Everything's happening randomly. It's deterministic. So how can there be morality? He's saying, how can it be morality without God? How can there be morality? If everything is just molecules moving around haphazardly by chance, there's no order in things. So what I do is also by chance. That if I do is by chance, then it's not, I am not the, what's it called? There's a word for it. I'm not, a doer is one word. I really want to find this word. Doer. It's at the tip of my tongue. Give me a second more. It's so close, but anyway, agency is a philosophical term. Agency, who initiates action? You can't be responsible for an action if you have no agency for it. It doesn't initiate within you. So it's just like in a war, you're killing people, but you're not held responsible because you're not the agent. The agency is not in you, it's in the government. So just killing in a war, you don't get responsible, but the government may get responsible. So agency is the point. Now I forgot my other point, because bhakti is not. So anyway, his father was, well, yeah, there's no morality. Atheism, the agency doesn't rest with the person. It rests with the beginning of creation, some explosion. Then everything is moving by chance and it's moved this way. And therefore in that story, that's what the person in the story is thinking, crime and punishment. But then he says, so why don't I just murder this lady? Right? Why not? And he murders her and then he feels guilty. He feels guilty. He feels so guilty. I never read the book. I read some summary of it. He feels so guilty. I think I'm going to read the book now. He feels so guilty. And then he starts to believe in God. And then the point is without God, then all is allowed. So that's Hiranyakashipu, classical demon. And when his son wouldn't become a devotee, he tried to kill him. But he could not stop his devotion. And this is such an interesting point, that the two qualities of bhakti is ahoitaki apratiyata. It's causeless. There's no motive for doing it. And it's apratiyata. It's unbroken. If something doesn't have a cause or a motive, you can't stop it. How can you stop it? You stop something by stopping its cause. So if the cause of you doing something, if you want money, then you say, I'll take away the money. Stop. Okay, okay. Stop it or I'll take away the money. Okay. I'll stop it. Just give me the money. And apratiyata means unbroken, the nature of bhakti. You can't break bhakti because to stop something, you have to give something that's better than it, or you have to cause more pain than giving it up. So the nature of bhakti, there's nothing more painful than giving it up, real bhakti, and there's nothing better than it. So Prahlad was saying, give up your bhakti or I'll torture you. I'll throw you in a pit full of snakes. He said the snake bite of separation is much more painful than giving up bhakti. It's much more painful than giving up bhakti. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. There's nothing more painful, Dad. You're not going to be able to get me to give up bhakti. Or I'll give you the kingdom, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. There's nothing better than it, Dad. You can't stop it. That's another philosophical point. And then I already get what is the best subject? What did you learn? His father affectionately. That your attachment, you're in the deep well of household life and you're attached to this temporary body, Dad. It's an embarrassment. It's a cause of suffering. And once you go to the forest, wow. Educate him again, brings him back. And said, what did you learn today? What's the best subject? What is the best thing you learned? Shravanam Kirtan, wow. And then he said, where have you gotten this knowledge from? Nate vidu swartakatim hi Vishnu. Nate vidu swartakatim hi Vishnu. There's nothing swartakatim. There's no nate vidu. I do not know. Nate vidu swarta. Something that has value, the tim of a goal than Vishnu. Matir na Krishne parato swabhava. Matir na Krishne parato swabhava matopa padyeta grihabhatanam adanta gobir vishvatit puna puna charvatam charm. It's all chewing the chew. Wow, he's preaching so heavily. And then, of course, his father says, well, okay, you worship, where is your Vishnu? And this is such an interesting point. I mean, two points are here and we'll finish it for today. And where is your Vishnu? Where is your Vishnu? Is he everywhere? And that's also a point. Where is God materially? It's another dimension. We're separated from God by consciousness. Where is God? He's everywhere. Without the defect of impersonality. And then I'm not sure who said this, but I love this statement. Where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. Where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. God is another dimension. He's just another dimension. And therefore, Prahlad was, yeah, he's in the pillar. He's in the heart. He's in every atom. In the Brahma Samhita, it says it's in every atom. And then, of course, the real thing in that story, which was so interesting, is that he said, when he performed the austerities, then Lord Brahma, he was worshiping Lord Brahma, came down. And he wanted to be immortal. That's such a natural thing. And he said, of course, we know So please, I don't want to be killed on the outside or the inside. I want to be killed day or night, but I don't want to buy any weapon. And I don't want to be killed by any animal. He thought he covered all his bases. But materially, you can't get liberation. Liberation is only a matter of consciousness. So then Hiranyakashipu, he came out, the lion came out, half man, half lion, killed him at not day or night, but at dusk, not with any weapons, but his claws, not by any man or animal. And that's actually the part of the story that becomes most visible. And we pray to Nisringadev, Bhakti Vigya Vinas Nisringadev, Bhakti Vigya Vinas. He destroys the obstacles to devotion. That's how the devotees look at him. Okay, we'll finish this. If anybody would like to say hello, just for our community, it's just nice to see the people that are there. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gala. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Oh, thank you for coming. Great. Okay. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Rupa.
Good. Anybody else?
Sometimes Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, it's Chinese time.
Haribo, Haribo.
Good morning, Maharaj.
Hey, that's Adam. Okay. Okay, thanks for coming. Okay, Haribo. Anybody else?
Good morning, Maharaj. This is Isabel. Thank you for class and the extended class.
Well, Isabel, thank you for coming on the class. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Wow. That is such a treat. That's amazing. Great. Good. Are you going to have a feast?
Yeah, yeah, and the whole time this morning when I was cooking, I was really honestly thinking about the, and when you mentioned about your favorite rice from our land, I was really, really regretting that I cannot serve you for the feast today.
Oh my God. Say what preparation will you share today?
Okay, it's a peach cobbler with ice cream as dessert. It's Persian burek and it's a bean salad and it's oat soup.
Wow. Okay.
It's not so much.
Okay. Well, no, but I know it's. I know.
Really gourmet.
Wow. Wow. Anyway, just hearing about it is making me ecstasy. But what happened here is there it's the evening, and here it's the morning.
Oh yeah.
But fasting is no problem for me at all, and eating is no problem for me at all. So, okay, it's real. I feel this is. I really feel like I'm with you all, and that is my dream. That one day, that you know, we can be together there. Okay, thank you so much, Haribo.
For your great class, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, great.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Who is this?
This is Sevanandini. I'm not with Siddheshwari, unfortunately.
I was seeing your husband there, and I was just saying, I was going to ask, where are you? Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for wonderful.
Are you working?
Yes, I'm working.
Because you're a nurse, right?
I'm a midwife, but actually I'm working in office. So okay. It's safe, and I'm okay. Going to work. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you.
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Jagannath Priya. Thank you for a class.
Oh, hey. Okay. Good. Relaxing on the west coast of India. Wow. Okay. Thank you. That looks kind of fun. Wow. Okay, that's Gokarna. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Good.
Anybody else?
Maharaj, yeah. I was talking to Narma Saki yesterday.
Yeah.
And she every night listens to your lectures. And she was so happy to can constantly hear your classes. And I wanted.
Okay. I think she. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Give her my regards, okay?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. She will hear it. She will hear it tonight.
Okay. Great. Great. Narmisaki, Hare Krishna from Maharaj. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Sri Gandharvaka, Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Okay, great. That's good. Good. Who else? Say hello.
Hare Bol Maharaj. Jaiki Shori.
Okay. When is this going to end, Jaiki Shori?
I know. I know. Practice. I'm practicing my comfort with uncertainty.
That is a class in itself. That's my next morning greetings. Comfort with uncertainty. Okay. Okay.
Very cool.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Indira.
Oh, Indira, okay, great. Anybody else?
It's Gail Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
There you go, Gail. Good. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Amala.
Amala, okay.
Thank you for class. I feel like you've been on fire lately with everything, just putting it right out there and to the point.
Okay, great. Great, thank you. Okay, what time are you supposed to talk to me today?
1 o'clock. Is that okay?
1 o'clock, yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Anybody else?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, it's Braja. Hello.
How are you? Okay, good. Good. That was good. The Boston beans. They came over and cooked for me yesterday. It wasn't exactly Mideastern fare. It was Boston beans. It's a very, very interesting recipe. Traditional. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I mean, it's so nice that most of the people I saw stayed for both classes. So we'll see you again on Sunday morning. Thank you. Gunchakalpa Tarubya Chakrapasindu Bebe Chapatitanam Pavani Bhagavad.